Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and after Tuesday's episode when I talked about Christmas books, I talked about novels and basically adult Christmas books. I thought I want to do an episode on, well, more Christmas books and maybe feature some children's Christmas books. I love Christmas. I know that's probably a cliche, and I don't love like everything about Christmas. I don't love the fact that it starts in August. I don't love the commercialization of it, that, you know, there's some things to not enjoy. But I love Christmas because of the nostalgia that I have for it, of the traditions that I grew up with. Christmas we always spent with my grandparents, my mother's parents. They lived about 2.5 hours away, and I grew up in Montana, so it wasn't always snowy in my hometown for Christmas because my hometown is in a warmer part of the state, but driving 2.5 hours north, it was always snowy at Grandma and Grandpa's. We would go on December 23rd, which is my grandmother's birthday, and we would come home on December 26th. And we would celebrate Grandma's birthday on the 23rd. The 24th was that, you know, just day of expectation. And then we would go to church in the evening for Christmas Eve service and then come home. And then it was still more expectation. And then the next day, of course, was Christmas and all the wonderful things we would gather together as a family. We weren't allowed to open presents until everyone was present and dressed. No pajamas for our family for Christmas presents, but you had to get up and get dressed, and everyone was there. My aunt and uncle and my siblings and my parents and my grandparents. And then there was the wonderful meal, and then playing with all the toys and everything that you got for the day, reading the new books, eating the candy from the stocking, etc. And then the next day it was packing up and going home. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but it was what we did every year. And it was so, to me as a child, it was just amazing. And I didn't ever want it to change. And of course it did. But that is what I think of when I think of Christmas, just those traditions. And I really love the season. I have created some new traditions. I have nieces, and now I am married, so we've created some traditions of our own. I really just love the season. I love the movies. I love the stories. I love the Christmas songs. Most of the Christmas songs. There are a few that I definitely hit no thank you on when I'm listening to Christmas songs on Pandora. But yeah, I love all of it, and part of me always wants to go all out with decorations. Part of me wants to keep it simple, just sort of what, you know, I kind of waver back and forth, but it's definitely my favorite time of year, the season. Yes. I have other favorite times of year at any rate. So Christmas is still coming. It's getting closer. We are December 13th, which means we are less than 2 weeks from Christmas. And I know I said I wanted to talk about some children's books, but one thing that I forgot to talk about on Tuesday's episode was that two of the authors that I've interviewed on this podcast have stories featured in seasonal anthologies. Now, one of them you've already heard about, because when Priscilla Oliveris was on a couple of weeks ago, she talked about her story, which is in A Season to Celebrate. That is Fern Michaels' anthology, and it features not only Priscilla, but Kate Pierce and Donna Kaufman. So there's four stories in this, and as I said, it's called A Season to Celebrate, so it is obviously holiday related. It says, make it a Merry Christmas with four stories of the special way the holidays warm our hearts. And Priscilla talked a bit about her story. It does fit into her Fernandez family It's not one of the sisters, but it is their cousin, Julia. It says, event planner Julia Luisa Fernandez dreams of a life in Chicago, but her family in Puerto Rico expects her to take over the catering business. Former pro baseball player Ben Thomas knows what that's like. When they meet, he might be the one to inspire a winning strategy just in time for the holidays. So, you know, as always, if you're looking for some stories to read for this time of year, I think Fern Michaels, it looks like she has many other anthologies. So, you know, that's great because you get shorter stories. This total book is 304 pages and it's got 4 stories in it. So I won't read all of the descriptions to you because that might be a little much. But so Priscilla talked about that when she was with us a couple weeks ago. And then Katie Proctor, who has been on the podcast, has also a story in an anthology, and that is called Let It Snow, a Holly Grove anthology. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 authors in this one. So this one is 779 pages. So each story is, you know, about 100 pages. Some of the other authors besides Katie Proctor are Jennifer Akers, Jessica Calla, Cindy Dormany, Joel Bain, J.P. Daling, I think I'm looking at the font maybe incorrectly, Jordan Kay, and Larissa Weatherall. So this is a Holly Grove anthology, and that is Holly Grove, Vermont, which is dubbed the best little town in the country. So kind of like when we did the Tawny Mountain Resort mystery series, and we had 3 authors on from there. Each of these stories is set in Holly Grove, so you get that consistency throughout. And the description of this anthology is that it's going to take the residents of Holly Grove a lot more than an evergreen and a few strings of light to pull off their famous holiday tree lighting ceremony this Christmas Eve. First of all, Mother Nature is not cooperating with her plans to dump the blizzard of the century as a Christmas time present. Not to mention that the mayor and sheriff are both distracted. Native Holly Grovers brought their complications back home with them, and newbies to the town are causing their own special types of ruckuses. Each resident will have to be brave, face their fears, accept changes, and embrace their pasts to pull together and accomplish the sacred tradition of their cherished small town. Experience the true meaning of the holidays, fall in love, laugh, and cry in these 8 novellas, each a full story on its own, with characters who pop in and out of each other's lives. We think you'll like it here. So again, that is Let It Snow. It is a Holly Grove anthology featuring Katie Proctor, who has been on the podcast. And I just wanted to bring those up because I was talking about Christmas books on Tuesday's episode. And if you're looking for something to add to your seasonal reading list, then these might be some options. I love, you know, some shorter stories, especially this time of year, to sit down and read quickly. I love that this Let It Snow anthology, everything is in the same town. And so I always wonder how that works, how they figure out the different personalities and different characters and how they make sure that there's consistency throughout. Obviously, there's a lot of communication that must go on between the authors in this type of anthology. And I'm kind of fascinated by that. So that is 2 anthologies featuring authors that have been on the podcast. I'm going to ask you once again what some of your favorite Christmas stories are. Do you have Christmas anthologies or holiday anthologies that you like to read from each year? Or do you have, like, for instance, Tuesday's episode, I was talking about Debbie Maycomber, and she puts out a Christmas story every year. It sounds like Fern Michaels does an anthology every year. Are there authors that you turn to every year in terms of your favorite Christmas stories? Or do you have the same books that you like to read year after year, or both? I would love to hear your answers to that. I'm always looking for books. I mean, you're probably thinking, why are you always looking for new books? You have so many to read. You're so far behind. Why on earth would you ask that question so that we could add more to your to-be-read list? Well, I just figure you can't ever have too many books on your TBR list. You just can't. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yes, you can argue with me later, but that is my story and I'm sticking to it. I would love to hear from you. You can hit me up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and let me know some of the Christmas stories that you love or the anthologies that you love. If you have favorite authors who put out anthologies, even if they're not Christmas, even if they're holiday or, you know, the greater holiday season that happens in December, or a different holiday. Maybe it's a Thanksgiving anthology. Maybe it's a Halloween anthology. I don't know. Let me know. I'm nosy. I want to know what everybody loves. Hit me up. Speaking of holiday anthologies and not having a lot of time, I do want to talk to you once again about Audible. We've been talking about Audible for a while now, and I have been talking about audiobooks on the podcast for a long time because, as you know, that TBR list of mine is ridiculous, and audiobooks help me to tackle more books on that list. I listen to audiobooks in the car. I listen to them when I work out. I listen to them while I am crocheting. I listen to them while I am cleaning, just all kinds of times. And Audible is great because they have a huge library. I always find something that I want to listen to. I mean, I have the crazy thing. I don't know if it's crazy. The thing about me is that I like to read books more than once. And sometimes I like to read books and then a year or so later, I like to listen to the audiobook. Some books I like to listen to maybe every year or every other year, but I like to listen to them a lot. So Audible lets you keep your entire library. Even if you cancel, you still keep your library. You don't have to return that, and you can cancel any time. When you sign up for Audible, you get 30 days free, so you can try that. With that 30 days free trial, you get a credit, which means you get one free book. Really, why wouldn't you want to sign up? You sign up for 30 days and you get a free audiobook. Hey, there is nothing to sneeze at with that. If you just go to audible.com/GSMCbook or text GSMCbook to 500-500, you can take advantage of this great deal. Check out some audiobooks. Give yourself the gift of listening. Give your friends and family the gift of listening for the holidays. Again, just go to audible.com/GSMCbook or text GSMCbook to 500-500 and get started on your audiobook library. We are going to take our first break of the podcast, so stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. We're talking about Christmas because that's what's everywhere right now. Christmas music in stores, Christmas decorations everywhere. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. So I am talking about books, obviously, because it's a book review podcast. I talked about the anthologies in the first segment, and now I want to turn my attention to some children's books. And I'm going to ask you that same question. What are your favorite books to read with your children at Christmas time? Do you have books that you read every year? Do you have traditions? Books that maybe you read on Christmas Eve? I know my brother has the tradition. Well, he did. His girls are older now. My babies are growing up. In fact, two of them are adults and aren't even, one of them is not living at home, and the other one is visiting her sister, who's not living at home for an extended period of time while her husband is deployed. So he only has one girl at home right now, and she is a junior in high school. Wow. Okay, moving on. But at any rate, growing up, they had the tradition of reading The Night Before Christmas, The Night Before Christmas. And there are a million different versions of The Night Before Christmas. In fact, my parents have a collection of different picture books that they love the illustrations in. You know, the story is the same. It's the same poem, but different artists, of course, put their own touches on the different that are on the story. And so they have a collection of The Night Before Christmas books that they just love the illustrations on. So as I was saying, my brother used to read The Night Before Christmas on The Night Before Christmas with his girls, but they also had the tradition of reading The Night Before The Night Before Christmas on the 23rd, which if you listened to the first part of this episode, then you knew was my grandmother's birthday. So now that she's gone, I'm very happy that they have a different kind of tradition than it's still celebratory. It's not about her birthday, of course, but it makes me happy that they have a tradition on the 23rd. And so the night before Christmas, I think I've actually talked about it before, possibly. I know I've talked about the author before because she's got a whole series of the night before stories, the night before the 4th of July, the night before the first day of school, the night before Thanksgiving, etc. And that author is Natasha Wing. The Night Before Christmas might have been the book that started this whole crazy series, and it came out in September of 2002. So it's been around for a while. And the description of this book is that it's December 23rd and Christmas is just around the corner, but one family is having trouble getting its act together. And once again, Natasha Wing follows the rhythms and meter of the classic Christmas poem. It gives it her own entirely original twist while paying homage to The Night Before Christmas. So it's the night before The Night Before Christmas. And I think if I'm remembering correctly, Mom is sick. Yeah, Mom is sick and things aren't going well. The tree's not up. Everything is just kind of going badly. You know, the cookies are burned. The presents aren't wrapped. Everything is just not going well. And so you get again that cadence of The Night Before Christmas. But it's very different from The Night Before Christmas, the poem, where everyone's in bed and everything's ready for Santa and then Santa shows up. This one really captures the hecticness of the holiday season that we sometimes, sometimes we try to do too much, or we put so much stock in those traditions that we don't want to give them up, even if one of us has the flu and can't decorate. And it's really hard, I think, to make exceptions when we are so attached to our traditions. I know when our tradition changed and we stopped going to my grandparents after my grandfather died, and then it was still several years later, but it was harder for my grandmother to host, and so we started having it at our house, and grandma would come to us. It was still lovely, but it just wasn't what I'd grown up with. So we cling sometimes to our traditions, and that's awesome, but this book really captures when we're trying to do everything and we just can't quite do everything that we want to do. Someone else that I want to talk about in terms of Christmas children's books, one of my favorite authors and illustrators is Jan Brett. If you've never read her, her illustrations are beautiful. I love them. She has Hedgy the Hedgehog that appears in a lot of her books. Maybe you've read those. One of the reasons that I love Jan Brett is that she writes Nordic themed books. She has a book called The Trouble with Trolls, and part of my family heritage on that side that I was just talking about, my mother's side is Norwegian. So Trouble with Trolls, and there is Christmas Trolls. I don't even quite know how to describe trolls if you don't know. Don't think trolls like, trolls with the little naked guys with the hair that sticks straight up, and don't think about Trolls the movie. Let's see. Now, let's talk about Trouble with Trolls first. And this says that Treva's trouble with trolls begins when she climbs Mount Baldy with her dog Tuffy. The trolls who live there long for a dog and they try to kidnap him. But Treva is brave and quick thinking. She outwits one troll after another until she reaches the very top of the mountain where five trolls are waiting and they want her dog. From underground to mountain peak, Jan Brett's story is filled with adventure and eye-catching detail. So trolls are mischievous. Trolls are tricksters. If you ever misplace something in your house, blame it on the trolls. Clearly the trolls took it. And these trolls really want Treva's dog. So she has to work she has to figure out a way to convince them that they really don't want her dog. She also has a book called Christmas Trolls, which is also about Treva, and it is then again about Christmas, obviously. But the trolls are still being their mysterious selves, their mischievous selves. It's Treva's favorite time of year at Christmas, but decorations and presents are mysteriously disappearing. So Treva follows a creature making off with the Christmas pudding. And when she does that, she discovers two irresistible trolls who want to have Christmas, but they don't understand it. So you still get the trolls, but you get a little bit more of understanding between Treva and the trolls as she talks to them about what Christmas is and, you know, how they shouldn't probably just steal your Christmas pudding. Although, hey, maybe that's the way to not be stressed out at Christmas. Just steal somebody else's Christmas pudding. Don't steal someone else's Christmas pudding. I don't want you to be arrested and be like, well, I listened to this podcast and she told me to just steal it. Please don't. Jan Brett has a ton of Christmas books. She's got Home for Christmas, which has a fabulous moose on the front. She's got The Wild Christmas Reindeer. She's got The Mitten. If you've never read The Mitten or The Hat, those are wonderful. Her illustrations. I just love her illustrations. But in The Mitten, the main character drops a mitten. He drops his mitten in the snow and he goes on without realizing that it's missing. And so one by one, all of these different little woodland creatures find it and crawl in. A mole, a rabbit, a badger, and others. Each one gets larger and larger. Finally, a big brown bear is followed in by a tiny brown mouse. And it's the tiny brown mouse that finally just makes everything kind of reach its climax. But this mitten is the most stretchy mitten you've ever seen. So it's so cute. And it's one of those books that, you know, just kind of builds upon itself as more and more animals find this mitten. And obviously they seem to be getting along, even though there's both predators and not predators, but you know, they're all keeping each other warm in the mitten. I love this book. And then she also has The Hat. Her illustrations are always beautiful. She has Who's That Knocking on Christmas Eve. She's also got several books about gingerbread men. And she did a version of The Night Before Christmas. Obviously, she didn't write that one, but she illustrates it in her signature style. And it's beautiful, and it is in my parents'. It might be the book that started my parents' Night Before Christmas collection, because my mother loves Jan Brett and is the one, I believe, who introduced me to Jan Brett. She's got the animals, Santa, and then more gingerbread and 12 Days of Christmas book. She's actually got a Christmas treasury. I mean, if you just type in Jan Brett Christmas, you're going to come up with a million options. If you have children in your life that you want to give books to, I would definitely, you can't go wrong with Jan Brett, I don't think. So jump in there and find some. Speaking of not going wrong, Audible, I find that I don't often go wrong with Audible, but even when you do, you can return books that you don't care for, audiobooks that you don't care for. They will exchange your audiobook, which is great, because sometimes you want a book and then you get into it and you think, this is not my cup of tea. You can exchange that book. Or you can keep it, and you can keep it forever. They have an amazing selection. They have a huge library. You get, when you sign up and you do your monthly fee, you get one credit a month, and that is good for anything in the entire library. You also get to choose from two Audible originals every month. This is fairly new. It's either fairly new or I never noticed it and I've missed out. I don't know. That's terrible. But I've been taking advantage of it for a couple of months now, and I've had a lot of fun getting these two extra titles every month. You get three titles a month, and they've got some really interesting selections in their Audible originals. Those you can't get anywhere else. The library has children's books, it has mysteries, it has memoirs, it has self-help. Anything that you like to read, you'll be able to listen to on Audible. When you go to Audible, you can sign up for 30 days for free, which is cool because you can take it for a test spin. And when you sign up for 30 days for free, you get a free audiobook. You get a credit for one audiobook. You can't go wrong with that. So just go to audible.com/GSMCbook or text GSMCbook to 500-500 and start building your collection. Maybe you want to build a children's books collection and listen to them with your kids. That would be super cool. To do so, just go again to audible.com/GSMCbook or text GSMCbook to 500-500 and take advantage of this offer. We are going to take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, more Christmas children's books. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and we are talking about Christmas books, especially children's Christmas books. I was trying to think what I had growing up for children's books for Christmas, and growing up we had a million kajillion little golden books. Do you remember those? They still exist. And I know I had Frosty the Snowman, and I had, I think Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, not the one that has the, not the one with the claymation, the movie that they play every year, but the story, the original story of Rudolph. I had The Night Before Christmas, and there were others, but now I mean, those are the ones that definitely stick out. So I read those growing up, and of course then I loved The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, both the original animated version and the book. There's a Charlie Brown Christmas, and then there's Christmas Time Again, Charlie Brown, but you know, those are the movies that they show every year, but also there is book versions as well, so you can check those out. Thinking about children's books, I was obviously thinking about the ones that I had growing up, and then I went and looked again for lists, because you know I love lists, and was reminded of some of the other books that are out there, and one that I was reminded of is The Legend of the Poinsettia by Tommy DiPaola. I love Tommy DiPaola. I love his stories. I love how informative they often are. He has a very distinctive illustrating style. So The Legend of the Poinsettia is that in Mexico, the poinsettia is called Flower of the Holy Night, and at Christmas time, the flower blooms and flourishes, the quite exquisite red stars lighting up the countryside. This Mexican legend tells how the poinsettia came to be through a little girl's unselfish gift to the Christ child. Beloved Newbery Honor-winning author and Caldecott Honor-winning illustrator, Tommy DiPaola has embraced the legend using his own special feeling for Christmas. His glorious paintings capture not only the brilliant colors of Mexico and its art, but also the excitement of the children preparing for Christmas and the hope of Lucida, who comes to see what makes a gift truly beautiful. There's all kinds of things to love about this book. A, you get to learn about a different culture that you might not normally find in your Christmas children's books. You get to learn about the legend of the poinsettia, which we see everywhere this time of year. But did you know that they grow in Mexico? Did you know that there's a legend behind them? There's actually, I think, a Christmas song about the legend of the poinsettia. I could be wrong about that. So that is one that I would definitely add to my list. There's books, of course, if you have favorite series, for instance, Merry Christmas Mouse, and that is by Laura Numeroff and Felicia Bond, who write, you probably know if you give a mouse a cookie or if you give a moose a muffin. So if you give a mouse a cookie as he decorates his Christmas tree, this is actually a board book, which is great. If you have younger kids, you can read it with them and they can gnaw on the pages, which, you know, buy them books and buy them books. And all they do is eat the pages, but hey, they're still reading with you. The Wild Christmas Reindeer is on this list. Again, that's by Jan Brett. Pete the Cat Saves Christmas. I have never read Pete the Cat. Do you have children who love Pete the Cat? Should I read him? I know he's got a million books. I should probably check him out. The Little Match Girl. This is a classic. It's Hans Christian Andersen, and there are lots of different versions of it. You can find kind of your favorite illustrating style of this story. Again, also with The Night Before Christmas, you can find many, many different versions of that. Also, The Nutcracker. The Nutcracker, of course, is a ballet, and it's been made into movies and, but it's mostly a ballet, but it's also a children's book, and I believe there are several versions of this as well. The one on this list that I'm looking at is by Susan Jeffers, but you're going to get different illustrated versions of the Nutcracker. So if you have a favorite illustrator, definitely check and see if they have illustrated the Nutcracker, if that's something that you are interested in. Bear Stays Up for Christmas. I love this one because Bear's friends are trying to not let him sleep through Christmas again this year. But of course, it's the middle of December. It's the end of December and Bear is sleeping. He is hibernating. So, but they are just, they're determined that he's going to stay awake. And he's excited to experience the holiday, but he's very, very tired. And so there's a twist at the end of this one with Bear staying up and his friends trying to keep him awake. Speaking of series, Junie B. Jones. I love Junie B. Jones. This is for not older children, but, you know, young readers. It's, you know, for your first and second grade readers as they're able to read on their own, etc. So chapter books, if they're into that. And Junie B. Jones's Christmas contribution is Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, P.S. So Does May. So Junie B. Jones. Of course, she's going to tell you about May smelling. I don't know who May is. I haven't read this one, but if she smells, Junie B. Jones is going to tell you about it. And of course, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. Did you sing it that way as a child? We did. Used to drive my mother crazy. So it's holiday time and Room 1 is doing lots of fun things to celebrate, like making elf costumes and singing joyful songs. Only how can Junie B enjoy the festivities when Tattletale May keeps ruining her holiday glee? Okay, so maybe May doesn't like physically smell, but she smells because she's rude and she keeps tattletaling. Here's the worst of it all, though. When everyone picks names for Secret Santa, Junie B. Jones gets stuck with Tattletale You-Know-Who. It's enough to fizzle your holiday spirit. Or is it? Maybe, just maybe, a Secret Santa gift is the perfect opportunity to give May exactly what she deserves. Oh, Junie B., I love you. I do love Junie B. I've said that before. There's a million Christmas books, and I want to know what you read with your children or what you read as a child. I would love to have a huge Christmas children's book collection. I would just love to live in a library. Can I make that happen? I would live in a library. I'd have a little tiny corner, and then I would just wander through and read every book or as many books as I possibly could before I died. Okay, that just took a dark turn. Maybe I won't live in the library until I die. But I do want a collection of children's books, children's Christmas books, and children's Halloween books, and children's Thanksgiving books. And can I just have every book everywhere all the time? Yeah, let's make that happen. I think it's time for me to wrap this episode up because I am rambling. I want to thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the GSMC Podcast Network. Please join me again on Tuesday when we hopefully have fixed those technical issues, and we will have author Brad Schaefer on to talk about his historical fiction book Of Another Time and Place. Please join me for that. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. Hope you have some time to do whatever you love to do during the holidays, but I really hope you have time to go out and get lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.